Jeff Marek joins us from NHL on Sportsnet. The NHL Insider brought to you by McAlpine Ford Lincoln in Aurora. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Elliot. Greg, good morning. Yeah. How are you guys today?
Good. Leaf fans are on the edge of their seat because they don't know what they have. I mean, the goaltending situation, you don't know. I mean, McElhinney, as Greg pointed out, he has either been very good or very bad. And so you need for him to be, like, good and so that you can believe and rely on him.
Playing against the Florida Panthers, so back-to-back for the Cats today. So you'd think they would get, and you would think there would be extra motivation against the Florida Panthers considering what happened 2 weeks ago in Sunrise. But I'm with you, Elliot. If you're a Maple Leafs fan, considering how many times you've been false started on this team, not just, you know, this year, but previous years and under previous regimes as well, no surprise that even though head coach Mike Babcock is saying, doesn't look serious, doesn't look long-term, you know, we all have, you know, memories of, you know, Morgan Riley. Oh, it's day-to-day, and Morgan Riley's out for a few weeks. So we don't really know. If you're a Leafs fan, you cross your fingers and hope that everything will be okay. But, yes, tonight you will live with Curtis McElhinney between the pipes for the Maple Leafs.
And a tale of two recent times where right after the lockout, we had the J.S. Oban run, right, when Ed Belfour
right,
was
two
hurt.
Two days in a row now.
And I looked it up. Jeff, he last played in France 2 years ago. I think we can get him on a treadmill, get him doing some calisthenics, get him into camp and see where he's at. Get him into practices.
I don't think he's been. Oh man, Paul Maurice would have sat him down. Was it like 25 games? Remember when there was that game against Pittsburgh where Brian McCabe made a gaffe in front and Oban kind of did that throw your arms up in the air and kind of stared at McCabe as he went off to the bench? And I think Paul Maurice sat him down for close to 30 games. We haven't seen him since. But yes, start to look for goaltenders pass. Paul Maurice, get your pads out. Is Wayne Thomas still available? Gordon McRae, like any of these guys, like try to find somebody.
This is getting worse. I know. See what you started, Brady?
But recently, the second example was the Bernier injury going to Reimer, and the team was getting outshot almost 2-1 every night. But admittedly, it was a pretty bad sequence of games for that team. They went 2-12 down the stretch, and James Reimer, he might be the first to tell you that either there was pressure, either there were physical issues, but it got to him. He wasn't. I looked the numbers up yesterday. He was not a very efficient goalie down the stretch. When they utterly collapsed 3 seasons ago.
No, but it's never a good hockey business plan to say, we're going to get outshot 2-1 on a consistent basis, dine out on a really high shooting percentage, and that's going to be our strategy heading into the playoffs. That works for outlier teams every now and then, but as a strategy for how we're going to do things, generally that's a bad way to go about business, Greg.
Jeff Marek with us, NHL on Sportsnet. Leafs against Florida tonight. And everyone is a little on edge. Certainly didn't help last night when the Blackhawks blew a 4-1 lead.
Fun game.
I know.
Heard you guys talking about it. That was a fun game. You're flat out right. That was a fun third period, fun overtime.
Yeah. But the Leafs don't need help. They need to take care of business. And the mindset from Friday to Monday is incredible. I mean, you're thinking, all right, we're in front of the Bruins. Look, Ottawa's not that. And then all of a sudden, Anderson went down. And do the players feel that way as well? Like they're going, oh, boy.
See, I think this team is, I mean, certainly there are players. I mean, James Van Riemsdyk, Tyler Bozak, some of the older players on the squad would probably feel that way. But I kind of get the impression, Elliot, Greg, that you know, this is all new, this is all fresh, and they're just out there playing. Like, they don't have, you know, one of the nice things if you're a Maple Leafs fan is, you know, a lot of these players aren't skating with the burden of history in their boots. Like, they don't have heavy skates at this time saying, uh-oh, this is where the wheels came off last time. Uh-oh, we've seen this movie before. Oh, yeah, we've starred in it the past few seasons. They don't have that. I get the impression that this is still, you know, young kids, loose team, having fun. It's the first time for all of it. It'll be different next year. Once, you know, you look at the beginning of the season and you say to yourself, wow, now I know what a season feels like. Now I know what you have to do. And, okay, here we go. Am I going to do this 82 times plus every season? But I think for your first year, whether you're Marner, whether you're Nylander, whether you're Matthews, all the young guys on this team, I think it's all new. I think it's all fresh, and that's why they're generally all playing loose.
Jeff Marek, our guest from the NHL and Sportsnet. Bruins Preds, by the way, 7 o'clock tonight in Nashville, or rather in Boston, and then it flips Toronto, goes to Nashville for a Thursday night game. Don't forget, also some great OHL action. 7 o'clock on Sportsnet 1, it's the Petes and Niagara in Game 3. I watched both lines. and Windsor games on the weekend. Give a quick thought on that. How good were those two hockey games? They were fantastic.
Greg, those are old school games. Like, if you like old school hockey, in your face, couple of suspensions, fights, perhaps premeditated. I'm not here to cast aspersions. that was your kind of series. Rocky Thompson going at Dale Hunter, after the second game, complaining about, you know, diving and cheap penalties. And you have Jeremiah Addison, the Montreal Canadiens prospect, for Toronto minor hockey fans, played with the Marlboros on that McDavid team and minor midget. He's taken a 2-game suspension for cross-checking Max Jones. You have two wildly distinctive games. Mitchell Stevens with a wonderful third period, against Windsor on Sunday. This has been, and Michael DiPietro against Tyler Parsons in net. So far, it's been a long series. And Greg, this has, and thankfully it's true because it's been great, this has 7 games written all over it.
Yeah.
And it's two teams that, at the beginning of the playoffs, you say to yourself, oh man, we're going to lose a biggie right out of the gate. Is it going to be the defending Memorial Cup champions, or is it going to be the host city team in the Windsor Spitfires? I'm with you. There's star power, high draft picks on both sides, up-tempo play, little bit of dirt in the game. Okay, who am I kidding? A lot of dirt in the game.
Yeah, it's nasty. Pure hatred and violence. They brought the violence back.
Yeah. It's a nasty series, and bring it on. It's been a while since we've seen types of two games like that back-to-back in the OHL.
All right, hockey on a third level, the American Hockey League. There's a player coming from there. What about Kasperi Kapanen? He's a point-a-game guy in the American Hockey League. He's not going to be a top-six forward, but he kills penalties. And we did see, it occurs to us, that even when he worked his way into the lineup, Josh Levo ended up as on the number one power play unit. Is that a possibility?
Yep. I suppose so. I guess there's always a chance. I mean, Mike Babcock yesterday saying that he would have been called up if it weren't for the injury earlier on this season. I mean, now fans are going to see, you know, the piece of the Phil Kessel trade, you know, on the ice for the Maple Leafs. Now, he's not going to exactly be in a position to do much damage. He'll be playing on the fourth line with Boyle and Martin. So don't expect much. But, you know, whether it's, Nick Kiprios was making this point a while ago, and I think it's a salient one. Whether you look at, you know, a bottom six player like Shoshnikov, whether you look now at a bottom six player like Kasperi Kapanen, you wonder how much of this is audition time for, you know, that spot on the Bozak-Marner line when James Van Riemsdyk is no longer on the Maple Leafs. Like, can one of these players get himself to a position where he can legitimately take over that spot? And I think whether you're Kapanen, whether you're Shoshnikov, every game is an audition for that spot. Is it there now? No, absolutely not. But what you're doing is trying to on-ramp yourself to get management and the coaching staff to turn their heads and say, you know what? This is making our decision on James Van Riemsdyk a little bit easier because he's only got 1 year left on term.
I know you know Bruce Boudreau, real stress points for him in Minnesota right now. I think Washington, because of expectations and how well their regular season has been, obviously they've got pressure to get where they haven't gone and get Ovechkin to a conference final. He'll have to help. But, man, I watched them live get booed off the ice against Vancouver with a 4-goal second period Saturday. Then, I know, tricky scheduling. They got to go to Detroit. They lose in overtime. So they're home against the Caps tonight, speaking of. But I mean, Bruce Boudreau plays a lot of former teams. That happens when you coach four franchises. But man, I mean, there's probably not a coach that's going to sweat more than in the first couple games against Nashville. And a lot of people would love the Preds in that series, Jeff, right?
Yes, they would. And, you know, you look at that game on Saturday, and there's a wonderful GIF out there of Bruce Boudreau. This is after Reed Boucher scores one of his 2 goals on Saturday afternoon. And they cut back to Bruce, and you can see him, if you can read lips, clearly you can see him saying, "Who the blank is that?" So it was a pair against pair for Reed Boucher, okay, former Sarnia Sing for OHL fans, and then Brock Besser.
Yeah.
Scores. And Boucher goes out of his way to point out that the day previous, he was playing for the University of North Dakota, Midwest Regionals, against Boston University. A day later, he's in the NHL. And Boudreau making the point that, "I think the NHL is a little bit tougher, but we gave this guy a free pass to score his first goal one day after he's playing NCAA Division I. It is tough if you're Minnesota. The analytics guys have been telling you this has been happening, going to happen for a while. They have a shooting and save percentage at 105. That is unsustainable. The drop was predictable, and they're having it right now. You made the point about the Washington Capitals a second ago. Let me ask you guys this question. Watching the Tampa-Chicago game, 1 point away from the Boston Bruins for that final wild card spot in the Eastern Conference. If Tampa meets Washington in the opening round, who do you like?
Got a hold on the Caps, but the Stamkos factor, yeah, and I don't think people think, no matter if Stamkos gets back, Elliot, they're going to, I mean, he can't be 100%. He'd be there right now playing at 75, 80%.
I know, but like I said, I mean, they were impressive in coming back last night from the 4-1 deficit, but they were just choked off in the third period. If that game doesn't go to overtime and they keep playing regular overtime, I don't know that they'd have gotten another good scoring chance against Chicago. I mean, their third period, they got three shots on goal.
The wild card here in all of it is how good Andrei Vasilevsky's played.
Yeah.
And as much as we talk about Nikita Kucherov, Vasilevsky has been, you know, since the Ben Bishop deal, he has been their most valuable player. And, I mean, Drouin's been fantastic, too. Remember, Stamkos came back last year. I mean, he was a different guy. He was that player possessed. If they get that Stamkos back, I don't know. I'm not so quick to knee-jerk the Caps over the Bolts.
And that takes us full circle about how important your goaltender is right back to the Leafs, right? No, seriously. I mean,
and more specifically, Elliot, your backup goaltender. Like, right. we saw last year with Pittsburgh, you know, Matt Murray rides to the Stanley Cup final and wins the cup. Minnie said he should have won the Conn Smythe trophy. Isn't this the year of the backup goaltender? Like, this is the year that really smacked you in the face that you need a backup goalie to be successful. Look at Jimmy Rutherford, you know, hangs on to Marc-Andre Fleury despite, you know, all temptation to move him at deadline. No, if we're going to win, we may need two goaltenders here. So you hang on to two high-end goalies. To me, this is there's a lot of stories.
Well, who knew Antti Raanta? Who knew Antti Raanta was going to have to play 30, 35 games this year? And he's going to have to.
I guess Jim Rutherford might have been the first one sort of on it with some success back in 2006, you know, when he rode both Gerber and Cam Ward to the Stanley Cup final. And then Cam Ward ended up winning the Conn Smythe trophy. But this to me has been the year that proved that if you're going to win in the NHL and in the Stanley Cup playoffs, you better have not one, but two goalies. And Maple Leafs fans are going to realize that tonight.
Thank you, Jeff. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, fellas.